What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
Benoni in for Bonte alongside Joe Shasky. We got Lomas Brown joining us here momentarily. Offensive tackle, played for the Lions for 11 seasons, and is their radio color analyst in Detroit for 97.1 The Ticket. And that'll be courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And by the way, don't miss the kickoff show brought to you by Habas Law from 2 to 6 at the Hilton of Santa Clara with Mark Willard and Mark Grandy. You've been wronged? Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit habaslaw.com. We're going to get to Brian in Palo Alto here in a second. Joe Shasky, this has flown by. We've talked Warriors, we've talked Niners, and maybe last few minutes I'll get your thoughts on the San Francisco Giants and what took place over this weekend, or I should say, what didn't take place for them. As you said, there was a certain signing that was going to be a lock that you told me last Thursday, and maybe it was a Drew Lock. Actually, Drew Lock looked pretty good yesterday, so I'm not even going to make the Drew Lock joke because it just didn't come to fruition. But
let's get there. That's pretty lame.
Yeah, thank you, Clay Thompson. You know it's not pretty lame? It's our boy, Brian in Palo Alto. What's up, Brian? You have a good Christmas?
Yeah, man. Good holidays. All good. Life is good. How about you guys?
You can't complain.
I feel the same way. Watching my son play more with the wrapping paper and the stuff that had nothing to do with the actual gifts, more than the expensive gifts that I bought him. Yeah, cracked me up.
Yeah, it was a great holiday for the kids, wasn't it?
It always is. God, we're so lucky.
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of a bummer watching all these, you know, teams playing in meaningful football games. And a joke to one of my friends was, well, pitchers and catchers report when? which is like the most ironic statement ever. But
fire everybody.
The question is the hard part is, I don't know where the Niners go for, you know, I think there's sort of an assumption with a lot of fans of, hey, tough year, injuries, Super Bowl, you know. Super Bowl hangover, but they're not in a good place, and I don't really know where they go from here, you know, because you can't, who can you really hang your hat on? They had so many big money guys not perform this year that they were either hurt, looked over the hill, and underperformed, and, you know, McCaffrey, I don't think can you say that McCaffrey is going to be a bell cow running back moving forward? I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Ayuk ever be the same receiver again? We don't know that. Certainly a long ways out. And, like, we sit here and we blame Brock. I mean, you look at all these teams playing yesterday, and you're like, yep, they have better weapons than Brock. Yep, they have better weapons than Brock. Yep, they have better weapons than Brock. Like, he has – there's almost – you have Ayuk's out. Debo's washed, generally. Pearsall's a bust.
Kittle's a baller still.
Okay, you have George Kittle.
Would you agree? Kittle's –
yeah, Kittle, Kittle's still a good player. Yeah. Great. So you have a functional – a good tight end. Not the best tight end in the NFL anymore, but really good. And, you know, like, that's not – what do you do? I don't know how you fix it. To me, I don't see any evidence Pearsall's the real deal. None.
I agree with that. But here's what I would say to you. This is what you do. So, I want your opinion on this. This is what I think you do. I think you move some of the parts that we're talking about. Like, this is where I think I'm not afraid to move Trent Williams. Like, get whatever you can. To me, I think you got to walk out of this draft with like 12 of the 12 picks in the top five rounds. Like, I'm dead serious on that. I think you have to reset your entire roster in terms of the skill positions. I'm with you, but I do think you could find those guys. There's lots of running backs and there's lots of wide receivers in this year's draft. I think it's doable.
Yeah, but I think it's – I don't know that you can say this is a team that's chasing an immediate Super Bowl anymore.
No, that I think is
and if
out
that's
the
case, like I look at – I mean, Bosa – sorry. Bosa's – his stock's down for me in a pretty significant way this year, not to mention his ridiculous political antics, which are embarrassing. But, like, you know, the fact that the guy was on a milk carton all year.
All year. Seven
sacks.
And
so what could you get? What could you get for Nick Bosa? Could you get a first-round pick for Nick Bosa?
Yes.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I think you can get multiple ones. I personally believe you get multiple ones.
888-957-9570. On the River Islands guest line is Lomas Brown, offensive tackle. Played for the Lions for 11 seasons and is their current radio color analyst for 97.1 The Ticket. As we go behind enemy lines.
When you need to learn about your opponent, you have to go behind enemy lines. Learning what we need to know about the 49ers' next opponent.
God, that's such a bad intro. I love you,
what?
Sam.
That's so badass. Come on, bro. We got an intro song, WWE style, for Lomas Brown, like he's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I wait for Joe Shasky to make the better one then.
Yeah, there you go. Lomas.
What's up,
Lomas?
You know how to use
he's computer. Joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. All guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop. What's going on, Lomas? How you doing, man? Did you have a great Christmas? Happy holiday season?
Yes, it was great, Joe and Joe. I had a wonderful time. Got a chance to go down to Miami, visit with family. Now we out on the West Coast getting ready for a battle tonight with the San Francisco 49ers.
Let me ask you about last year's NFC Championship game, because you guys returned back to Levi's, and I was sitting in the stands up in the end zone, and I'm thinking, wow. Like, Detroit is just bringing it. They're faster. They're better. They're the better team, period. Like, that's what I saw through the first two quarters. And I think the Niners were lucky to only be down 17. And then that third quarter happened, and it was still a game in the balance in the fourth quarter. Couple balls go your way. Reynolds catches a couple passes. Like, that's one of those losses I didn't know if any team could recover from. And not only have you guys recovered from that, you guys have had a monster season. Looking back on that NFC Championship game, what's the point for you that is the hardest to get over?
Yeah, man, you're right. I just got through watching the game again just to kind of get refreshed with a lot of things, just to kind of see if there's some things that we may use this year that we – I just think the biggest thing for us is that we kind of lost our identity in the second half. I mean, if you think about the first half, we came out pounding the ball at the 49ers, and that was in the run game. We really established a run with David Montgomery, of course, Jamison Williams, he scored on the run, a reverse run. So I thought the blueprint was there for us to continue the same blueprint that we had first half, which was to establish the line of scrimmage and continue to run the ball and eat up time. And it just really didn't happen in the second half, and that's kudos to San Francisco making the necessary adjustments they needed to make.
Lions radio color analyst Lomas Brown joining us here on the Morning Row. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. And, you know, how long have Lions fans been waiting to dish out this revenge? As soon as you saw that schedule release, Lomas, was this circled for a lot of Lions fans? And I get it now. It's kind of interesting, right? Because this game, it's not, I don't want to say meaningless, because that you know, the players are playing for something. Brock Purdy's still playing for something. There's pride factor and stuff like that. But as soon as, you know, yesterday's slate ended, it's Sunday Night Football, it's next week, Vikings, Lions for the number one overall seed in the NFC. Did tonight's game lose a little bit of its luster, or is there still a revenge factor for Detroit here?
Oh, no, it's got to be revenge factor here. I mean, I feel that way, and I didn't even play in the game last year. So I know those guys in that locker room, and we still have a lot of guys in that locker room that were part of that game last year. They have to feel some type of way. And the reason why is because this week leading up to this game, you have to watch that film. So you get to sit back and watch that film of what happened in the NFC Championship game. Whether you played good or bad, you have to take that medicine. And I think a lot of it is still stinging with these guys in Detroit. And I think the revenge factor will play a lot. Even with the coaching staff, I think the revenge factor is going to play a lot with this team tonight.
Whenever like a team loses the AFC or NFC championship game, sometimes you just get snuffed out, right? Like, for example, when the Niners lost to the Eagles, you know, Brock Purdy went down, but I thought the Eagles were one of the best teams in the league that entire year. I thought even winning on the road was going to be difficult. I don't know if the Niners win that game or even win in the Super Bowl, but there's other times when we lose and it's like, yeah, not only should we have won that NFC championship game, we should have won the Super Bowl. Do Lions fans and the players themselves feel like they should have been the team playing the Kansas City Chiefs and that they would have won that Super Bowl?
Absolutely. I mean, we felt like it was a lost opportunity, to be honest with you. I mean, think about it. You up 24, you up by 17 points and going into the second half of the NFC Championship game, you were going to face a team that we had beat earlier that year in Kansas City. So you had a sense of confidence if you would have got to the Super Bowl that you had the opportunity to beat a team like Kansas City. So, yes, it definitely seemed like a missed opportunity last year. And coming into this year, the thing was, it's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, I think, you know, and it may not be a failure for the fans back in Detroit, but I just think for the organization, the guys sitting in the locker room, those coaches and everything, if we don't get to a Super Bowl, I think they're going to look at it as a failure.
Wow. I know you said you watched back the game. I did too this week, and I was reminded of how good Brock Purdy was with his legs in that game.
Yes.
Let's see, you're saying yes. And I also noticed how, and the Niners fans are very familiar with Jared Goff. He played in Marin Catholic, played at Cal. We wanted him. He goes to the Rams. We watched him there. Last year, when you move him off his spot, he just isn't as good of a passer. I feel like this year, and I don't watch as closely as you, but he's been better in terms of resetting his feet and throwing across the field, whereas Brock's kind of regressed in the scrambling aspect this year. What are your big takeaways from these two quarterbacks, from where they were last year in that game to where they are now?
Yeah, Joe, I agree 100% with you. And the one thing that you're going to notice about Jared now, he'll pull it down and go get the yardage. Jared has used his legs a lot more this year, and not just to get out of trouble or to buy time. He's used his legs to pull the ball down and go get that first down or go get the necessary yardage that we need to get. So that's the biggest thing, like you say, that I noticed in Jared. And I just think the thing with Brock Purdy, not having his weapons around him, you could tell that kind of really affected him. What I've seen in some of the games he played early, he looked a little indecisive. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just drop back 1, 2, 3, get the ball out of his hands, or drop back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and get the ball out of his hands. He seemed like he's scanning, he's searching. He's not just letting it go like he did last year. So that was one of the biggest things. And I'm quite sure it has something to do with, like I say, him missing a lot of personnel on the offensive side of the ball this year.
And we're speaking with Lomas Brown here, former NFL offensive tackle, played for the Lions for 11 seasons, and current radio color analyst for the team on 97.1 The Ticket, our sister station down in Detroit. And Lomas, you're talking about just, you know, missing pieces on the offensive end. Talking about missing pieces on the defensive end with this Detroit Lions team. Like, I got to laugh. You just got to laugh to hide the pain, right, Lomas? Like, I'm looking I'm looking at it right now. Aiden Hutchinson, IR. Kyle Pecco, IR. Aleem McNeil, IR. Wingo, IR. Rodriguez, IR. Anzalone, IR. Kaminsky, IR. Derek Bonds, IR. Carlton Davis, IR. It just goes on and on and on. How have they been able to... I'm not going to say, because you miss those guys, obviously, but how have they been able to right the ship, if you will, and be in a position to play for the number one overall seed at home next Sunday in Detroit? How have they been able to weather the storm with all these defensive injuries?
I think Aaron Glenn has done a marvelous job of doing that. And I think the thing that we do that we're a lot better at this year is we're a lot better at disguising some of our pressure looks. We're a lot better at doing that, you know, so you don't really know where we're going to send pressure from. Sometimes, yeah, we'll line up and show it to you, but a lot of times it's disguised. They timing it up very well. Sometimes we'll show pressure and won't come with the pressure. So Aaron Glenn has done a marvelous job of just changing things up, using his personnel that he has, too. Like you say, if Fatu Melifonwu, we just got him back, a big safety that we could have used all season long, and that's kind of helped Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph out. So you're right. It's been a war nutrition with our guys on that side of the ball, but Aaron Glenn has done a great job. And I think the guys that have had to fill in, they've done a great job of filling in for some of those big-name guys that you mentioned earlier that we don't have. So it's been a collective effort, but I give Aaron Glenn all the credit in the world.
And to his point, Shasky, I mean, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, the offensive and defensive coordinators, both going to be head coaching candidates probably, yeah, you would assume, this offseason. So, you know, Dan Campbell going to have to deal with something that Kyle Shanahan potentially has had to deal with, losing those top coordinators and still trying to be a contender.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, I'm hoping that, and we know, I mean, they've been after Ben 2 years. Aaron Glenn, like you said, is at the top of a lot of lists. And then the thing about it, like you just said, with what Coach Shanahan has had to deal with, not only do you lose coordinators, but you lose assistant coaches that may go with the coordinators. You lose top office personnel people too. When you're a good team, a lot of teams come poaching. You got the vultures flying over trying to get these guys. So we know that this team is going to look totally different next year. That's why this is the year to get it done. We have to get it done this year because we have the right pieces, the chemistry. We got everything in place right now, besides, you know, the injury factor. But everything else is in place for the Lions to get to a Super Bowl and not just get there, win the Super Bowl.
You know, Lomas, watching that game last year, the two matchups that I couldn't get over in real time. Watching it back, it was a gladiator battle on both sides. Penei Sewell versus Nick Bosa was just unreal. And then watching Trent versus Aiden Hutchinson. I loved Aiden coming out. I thought the Trayvon Walker pick in front of him was crazy. And he just fell in your guys' lap. And he's been better than I ever anticipated. Losing him, I thought, was going to just wreck the defense. He is such a great player. He's more agile than Nick Bosa, but he's relentless like Nick in that sense. How big of a loss individually just has he been? Because he's such a great player.
Yeah, it was huge. And don't forget, he's a hometown kid. So a kid that played at University of Michigan, a kid that played high school football in Michigan. So he was a beloved figure for us. So not only was it crushing for the team, I think it was crushing for the city of Detroit because of what this kid meant to us. And you're so right. I knew the one thing as a young player, the one thing that was going to get Aiden over the curve as a young player was his hustle. The guy, every play, he plays every play like it's his last play. And I know I used to hate going against guys like that played to the whistle each and every play. And that's what you're going to get out of Aiden. And then the other thing with that is that it became infectious for the rest of that defense. You know, when you're sitting there and you're watching this guy play at this level and give this kind of effort, it's automatically going to make you want to do the same thing. And you've seen guys pick it up. John Kaminsky, another guy that's been on IR that we've missed all year long. You know, we have some guys that really followed Aiden and really, really kind of emulated the energy, the effort that he brought to the game. So it was huge. It was huge for us. And I give the guys in that locker room a lot of credit for being able to get over that injury and continue to win and play the way they have been.
Talking to Lomas Brown here, Lions radio color analyst for 97.1 The Ticket out in Detroit. Lions, Niners tonight, Levi Stadium. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be exciting. And I look at this Lions team and I look at the rest of the NFC, Lomas. How do you shake it out? Like, the one team, I'm not going to say fear because you don't fear anyone, but you respect their game. But the one team that gives you pause that could be stepping in front of the Lions come playoff time is who?
For me, it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Mm. Even after what happens on next Sunday when we play them for all the marbles, that's who worries me. Everybody was talking about, well, it should be Philadelphia. No, Philly doesn't worry me like that. It's Minnesota or even Green Bay that would worry me more than the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Because they're a division of foes. They know us inside out. It's always a tough game when you go against your division of foe. And it's always hard to beat a team three times, especially if we beat Minnesota next week, which I expect us to do. It's always hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. So to me, I'm more worried about them than I am the Philadelphia Eagles.
You guys have drafted such a great team, and you've acquired such a great team. Like the Jared Goff trade, I know Stafford won the Super Bowl. It's been a great trade for you guys. Just a great trade. You trade down, you still draft Gibbs, you bring in Laporta. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been an absolute monster. Penei Sewell is one of the best tackles in the game. Who's the best player on this team right now? I know that's a tough one. It's kind of a moving target. But if you had to, like, lay it down, and you got obviously a character in Dan Campbell that everybody kind of likes, and he fits that town, but who's the number one star on this team right now?
So I'll give you two answers. One, coming into the season, my MVP of the team was David Montgomery. That was my guy. He was the cog in that engine that made it work. Man, he really was. Now that he's been out right now, I probably would have to go with Jahmyr Gibbs. And the reason why I'm saying that is because of the load that he has to carry right now. Not only in the run game, but he has to carry it in the pass game. And not only in the pass game, think about it. Pass blocking, too, which is one of the hardest things for running backs to do. But he's been doing a great job of picking up the inside blitz when he's had to do that. Of course, he's a weapon, like I say, in the passing game, and he's been a weapon for us, a hard-running, hard-attacking guy in the run game. So to me, I would say right now it's Jahmyr, but preseason, going into the season until he got hurt, my MVP was David Montgomery.
We'll get you out of here with this one, Lomas, and we appreciate the time. Your overall thoughts on Brock Purdy, the season he's had coming off an MVP caliber season last year. You lose Brandon Ayuk. There was a lot of drama in the offseason, Ricky Pearsall, all that. The guy gets shot. He hasn't had his rookie wide receiver. Debo Samuel's been hurt at times. Like, it's just been a crazy year. And your thoughts on the 49ers quarterback who's going to be expecting a payday after this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I really do, because, again, the burning question is, if it's not him, then who? I think you guys still have Trey Lance or no.
No,
I think he's moved on.
Yeah, he's in Dallas.
Dallas now. Yeah, so if it's not Brock Purdy, then who? I mean, he's shown that he's a high-quality quarterback. He's shown that he's a quarterback that can lead you to the Super Bowl. He does all the right things. He says all the right things. He seems to be a leader in that locker room. So I don't think, again, the year doesn't look like it looked last year, but we know it's a lot of reasons for that. So to me, I think you pay Brock Purdy. I don't know if you reset the market and do stuff like that, but I know you have to pay him the average of what some of these guys are making. So why not? Why not pay the guy? Because he's proved to me, and I think he's proved to hopefully San Francisco, that he's the quarterback that can lead you guys.
Lomas, hey, we appreciate the time, man, and you have a great call tonight, all right?
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that was Lomas Brown, who joined us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And he was great. That was a lot of good stuff there. And just, I think about the Detroit Lions, Joe Shasky, and we got about 10 minutes here before Fast Five, but when it comes to a year in review and just storylines in sports, is there a better storyline than the Detroit Lions? Like, last year, we were talking about the Niners being a team of destiny. I don't know if there was a single person that was rooting against the Detroit Lions last year. And really this year, quite frankly, that's a franchise that has just been synonymous with losing all of our lives, both of our lives together, Joe Shasky. They had a cup of coffee with Barry Sanders, maybe in the playoffs, and they've had great players like Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford.
Megatron's one of my favorites,
right?
Of all time.
Of all time. One of the greatest. Some
I
of the
drafted
greatest,
him every year for right? 10 straight years.
And he was awesome, but they never did jack.
I know.
And it's just one of those franchises that was just synonymous with losing. Cleveland, the Raiders have been that. Like, I was rooting for the Lions. Like, everyone was rooting
did
for the
watch,
Lions.
Did you watch Tim the Toolman Taylor growing up?
It was a little before my time, but I've seen reruns, and I know Tim Allen. Yeah.
Home improvement.
Yeah. I call it Tim the Toolman Taylor. Like, yeah, that's just what I know. It's called Home
Jonathan
Improvement.
Jonathan Taylor
Tool
Thomas.
Time, great
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
Tool Time was the best. But, like, he was America's dad. You know what I mean? At that time.
Still and he is. He's came up with another sitcom lately, I think, too. Yeah,
he would always wear the Detroit Lions sweatshirts, the crew necks and stuff. So, yeah, I always had a soft spot, and they played on Thanksgiving, and they were the lovable losers. I'm rooting for three teams. three teams heading into this just to win it right now into this playoffs. If my Niners are out of it,
and they are,
it cannot be the Eagles. So I have got to be rooting for the Vikings or the Lions or whatever, like anyone that's not the Eagles. And then in the AFC, I'm rooting for Buffalo and the Baltimore Ravens.
Anyone but the Chiefs, basically.
Anyone but the Chiefs.
Okay.
I feel like we're just rooting for two teams to not win it. Versus,
basically. Yeah. Well, and I don't want to root for the Rams. Like, I don't want the Rams winning anything.
So I feel like, yeah, Lions, Bills, Ravens. Those are like, if those three teams
win. If teenage me found out that I was actually really liked watching the Packers play, because they have a lot of young players that I like.
See, I don't. Something about the Packers, they're a tier below still for me.
No, like, I agree with you, like, but I'm saying they're a team. You know what they remind me of? Oklahoma City.
Sure.
2 years ago, yeah. 3 years ago. That's what they remind me of.
Jordan Love's just been inconsistent this year. Like, he's tantalizing, and he got paid, and I still think he's a very good quarterback, and I would have paid him again if I was obviously the Green Bay Packers. But when I saw him yesterday, even Sam Darnold outplayed him. Jared Goff outplays him. Like, Jalen Hurts, like, these other quarterbacks in the NFC, they're just... feel like a tier above him at times.
He's been very up and down.
Correct.
I would totally
and you know
agree.
He had an awesome second half last year, and he played well for three quarters against the 49ers last year, and just wasn't enough in that divisional round. Obviously, he got an awesome wild card weekend in Jerry's world. So yeah, honestly, there's not a team I'm like outwardly rooting against. Like, yeah, Kansas City. It's just I'm so numb to the Chiefs at this point. It's just like I'm already psychologically conditioned to think they're winning it this year. Yeah. So, like, that's just whatever for me. Harbaugh and the Chargers are fascinating. That's a team that I think could make some noise potentially. I think they don't have enough offensive weapons. I get it.
I don't think they have enough offense.
But would I be surprised if they played the Chargers in week one of the wild card weekend and beat them?
No.
I would not be shocked. Because you know what? The Ravens are a team that, you know, loses in the playoffs under Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'd be shocked by the Bills if they got upset in the first round for sure. But for the NFC, I don't think there's anyone rooting against the Lions. And I thought it was interesting. I kind of stumbled upon that as we were talking to Lomas Brown, who was great. And you can find that entire interview on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. We are streaming live on Twitch during YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dan Campbell potentially losing both of his coordinators. Like, that's going to be a thing we're going to talk about. Okay, Dan Campbell, it's great. Your message is awesome. Can you be a Mike Tomlin, a guy that's not fully in charge of the offense or the defense? Can you do what Kyle Shanahan's been
Sirianni.
Doing? Sirianni, right, who pivoted after last year, still made the playoffs, but lost Steichen and lost Jonathan Gannon, and it was hard for him to get back. Now they got Vic Fangio, and they got my guy Kellen Moore. So is Dan Campbell going to have a step back? And Lomas Brown seems to think they got to be all in this year because they're going to take a step back next year.
Do you remember Lomas Brown as a player?
No. Again, before my time, I was born in 93, Shasky. So
I always knew who he was because of cards. We used to do the trading cards, and you'd get these like Pro Bowl NFL Pro Set cards, and he would always be in it.
He played for 18 years.
You know where I remember him the most? It's not even the Lions. Just because of the era. I remember him as an old Arizona Cardinal, as an old man. He was much older at that point in his career, and he was a badass even then.
Right.
I'm talking like late 90s. Like, that's what I remember him as, and he was sick.
I'm looking at his stats right now, and obviously
I want to say he was like a 5 or 6-time consecutive, not like spread
seven
out.
Seven straight Pro Bowl.
Seven
but,
straight.
But he was 5-time All-Pro.
Yeah, he was
so
sick.
So it's 1-time second first team and 4-time second team. How is he not in the Hall of Fame?
The early 90s.
That's a joke.
The early 90s Lions had so much talent.
I'm sorry.
Herman Moore.
He's 5-time All-Pro. That's a Hall of Fame career.
Scotty Mitchell, Rodney Peete. I know those guys stink, but they had talent.
I mean, I should have talked to him about
Barry
this.
Barry was so sick.
Again, doing that thing where you should have talked to, yeah, to your point, they had a lot of good talent. Like,
they did.
I'm sorry, Lomas Brown's not in the Hall of Fame, and he was a 5-time All-Pro, but Eli Manning's going to get in first ballot, and he was never an All-Pro? Come on.
That's dude. How it works.
It's a joke. I'm sorry. Okay, well, we got a couple minutes here. Let's go.
It bothers me.
Let's go to it's the reigning, defending, roaster of the year. No, you leave it up. Pop that back up. Come on. Thank you. We're in the zone. Not the Twilight Zone, just the zone. We got Tony in Oakland,
hey,
courtesy
Tony.
Of the River Islands guest line. Hey, Tony, you're on with Spadoni and Chasky. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. Well, what I wanted to say is Sam didn't like my other idea about bringing in Florida State coach since they're 2-8 or whatever, 2-10 or whatever they are. But that guy, Aaron Rodgers still has it, Florida but it State depends on who right he's now. With. Ooh. Imagine if instead of Goff, Rodgers was with Campbell. Could you imagine how good that combo? Because you got to get the stuff. So for all the roasters out here, this is how you get in. This is how a team gets in. You got to watch that trailer of Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh.
You know why? Because it's really mystically done, and you can feel the background. He says, "How do you get the perfect lap?" And he says, "Do you see it?" And then you can feel it. And they got the music, and you can feel the divine in the background. The objects get small. So, and tonight is Campbell, so I can't wait to see what happens here, because it will be a stark contrast between Campbell and our coach, right?
Yes. Thank you, Tony.
You know, you brought up Aaron Rodgers. I've done a lot of scrolling the last few days on Netflix, HBO Max.
Reigning Roaster of the Year, by the way, Tony in Oakland. And Ford vs. Ferrari is a good movie. Christian Bale,
I gotta check that
Matt
out.
Damon, there's a lot of good famous people. It's very good. It's a historical movie.
Based on true events. When you go on any of these like apps, they know your algorithms.
Yes.
And it'll be like top 10 or whatever. And I don't even know, is that top 10 in the country or curated for you? I don't even know.
People's just opinions.
Okay.
Yeah. Just top 10.
Number two for the last 4 days, and I refuse to even click on it, is this Aaron Rodgers thing on
number two.
Yeah, I haven't even, it's not even in my algorithm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I have no interest. She was talking about Aaron Rodgers.
It's Enigma. It's called Enigma.
Yeah, the trailers were enough for me to like, I saw a clip of him like when he was on the ayahuasca and he's having his trip, so to speak, and it's, think of the most ridiculous thing you can imagine Aaron Rodgers doing. Yeah, there
I
it is.
Think he wants us to all think that he's this very eloquent and interesting person.
Smarter than he is.
But he's just not. He's just kind of a jerk.
He's not interesting.
He's just kind of a jerk. He deflects, but he's just not a good leader. Like, I actually lost a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers, the player, seeing his lack of leadership these last few seasons. Like, I can't think of a player that's hurt his own legacy more within these last twilight of his years than Aaron Rodgers.
James Harden and Russell Wilson
James Harden are
below him.
No, but I never thought James Harden was a great leader.
No, that's true.
That's
a great point.
And I don't question Russell Westbrook's, like, he tries.
No, Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson. Okay.
Wilson, not Westbrook. Did I say Westbrook?
He might have, and I made it. But Wilson, no, that's a good one. But I think he's actually had a resurgence with Pittsburgh here. I've had a little more respect for them. And I thought maybe way more less of the Broncos after that. But the Broncos obviously come back, Sean Payton, what have you. But Aaron Rodgers is just the Pat McAfee stuff, the calling out people, like the people in the industry after, like, what are you doing? The freaking Raiders have the same amount of wins as you this year.
It's crazy.
The Raiders have the same amount of wins as you this year. And you've been there, Aaron Rodgers, the entire season. You stink. You stink. Yeah, I'm not putting you in the top five of quarterbacks ever.
You know,
sorry.
I mean, I might have
before this Jets stuff. Definitely not now. And I've actually had a tremendous more respect for what Tom Brady did into his 40s at this point than what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's cooked. Touching him out the 10-foot pole.
You know what the worst part about the whole thing is? All those people that overdrafted Breece Hall.
It's time for Fast Five. That's what that's.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity.
See ya.
Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I mean, the amount of people that told me to draft Breece Hall, I was like, I'm not touching it. I'm not drafting anyone from the Jets. Not even Garrett Wilson, to be honest with you. I didn't know what I was going to expect from Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? They didn't expect much. They stunk. It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts on the show. Brought to you by the Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Joe Shasky.
All right, two quick comments, both regarding the Philadelphia Eagles. First one, Saquon Barkley is having one of the greatest seasons of all time. I don't know where it ranks. I don't really care where it ranks. I just appreciate him as a player. He's a badass, and I'm really happy that he's on a good team, because the really, really, really good players, that their bodies get destroyed on crappy teams in football, that kind of sucks. Like, we just get robbed. We were just talking about the Detroit Lions. Like, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, both retired early, were all-time greats. All-time greats. I want to see what Saquon's going to look like on a legit team in a deep playoff run. Like, this is cool for him. He's awesome. Second thought on the Eagles. And I know it's final thoughts. So, last one. Eagles, go to those jerseys. Those throwback jerseys. I hate the Eagles. Those jerseys are flawless.
The Kelly green.
They're incredible.
Or the Hunter green, whatever they call it.
I don't care what they are. Whatever green that is, whatever the silver pants, everything about it with the black Allen, they're perfect. They're perfect jerseys. Go back to them.
All right. Real quick, Sam, I just want to intervene here. Saquon Barkley, 2,005 yards rushing. Eric Dickerson, 2,105. 1984. Most ever.
Yeah, less games.
Less games. Eric Dickerson, though, said he would acknowledge it as the record, even if with the extra game. He wouldn't be happy about it. He's not rooting for it to happen, which I respect.
Less carries, too.
Less carries. Would you still acknowledge it as the single season? Would you have to?
It doesn't. These things don't matter to me yet. Like, in terms of like how many games it played. Like Jerry Rice, do you know that he broke the touchdown record in a 12-game season? 23 touchdowns in 12 games. No one ever talks about that. And when Randy broke it, it was in a 16-game season. So whatever. It is what it is.
I mean, Brock Bowers doing it as a rookie tight end, breaking Mike Ditka's record of 60-plus years.
Exactly.
Ditka did it in, what, 14 games or whatever it was? So, yeah. It's different.
I also don't think football holds their records that way. Like, we don't, if I said to most football fans, who's thrown the most touchdown passes? That's true. I'm not sure people know.
It's not like baseball, where they're just...
Peyton Manning, 55 in the Broncos?
Oh, you're talking about single season.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, career.
Oh, the Tom Brady?
Brady.
Right? See, we don't even... That's what I'm saying. We do this for a living.
It's the opposite of baseball, where, like, the records are so hallowed. Like, the Roger Maris thing. People want to put an asterisk on his 61 because his season was a smidge longer than Babe Ruth's. Like, yeah. It's very
different.
Yes,
and it is Tom Brady. 600, it's not even close. 649 touchdowns. Drew Brees is the second most, 571. Peyton Manning, third most, 530.
God, I remember it was a big deal when Brett Favre broke that record.
Right.
Like, 15 years ago.
There you go.
My final thought is... it's about Cam Ward in Miami. Listen, he had one of the great seasons in Miami Hurricanes history. I'm very glad that I got to see Cam Ward play.
Dan Le Batard of Miami, he says it was the greatest quarterback season ever for the University of Miami.
No, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. But, like, him deciding to sit out the second half of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, look, I don't like it, but I get it. It's just the reality of college sports these days. The bowl games, it's unless you're in the playoff bowl games, they don't matter. I mean, the lower tier bowls for like those group of five schools or whatever.
It's an exhibition.
Like, but yeah, I mean, those are big for those schools. But like schools like Miami, it's not a big deal. That's just the reality of it. And, you know, there was once upon a time where like, you know, these players, they wanted to play in this bowl game because it was like their last chance to kind of represent their school. But Cam Ward, he was only there for a year. Like, Miami does not mean as much to him as other guys do. It's just, this is the reality
he
of college
played
football.
For Washington State last year.
And the Incarnate Word. No, it's his third team.
Wait, what?
In the University of the Incarnate Word.
That's not a place.
It is a place.
That's Turkey Tech University.
That's a real school. I believe it's
Penix
in Texas.
Played? How many schools did Penix play for?
But to your point, it's a lot.
How many schools did Bo Nix play for?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing now.
Yeah, it's just the reality. It is what it is. It's a bummer. I'm not thrilled about it, but I'm still going to watch, so... Whatever.
My final thought is RIP Jimmy Carter, 100 years old. That's a life well lived. And you know what? If at the end of the day, you live that much life and what people can say about you is you are a good person, that's a good life.
That's
right
my
there.
Goal in
that's
life.
Like, honestly, at the end of the day, if someone just says, what can you say about so-and-so who lived their life? He was a good guy. And that's, you know what? Was he a great president? Was he this or that? I don't know. Good guy. That's great. I would like to be known by that. When I meet my maker. 888-957-9570 is the number.
I feel you, though.
To start lining them up for Evan Giddings, who's filling in for Dale the Guru Johnson, alongside Matt Steinmetz. That was Fast 5, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. We'll be back tomorrow. Niners, Lions tonight from Levi Stadium. And also, Warriors, Cavs live right here on 95.7 The Game. Coverage of that starting at 6 o'clock, Warriors live. Tip off at 7. Have a good day, everybody.